Next on Renewing Your Mind.
The simplest practical thing I think I would say is tie your children to yourself by as many pieces of string as you can.
The awesome responsibility and great reward of being a father. Well, welcome to Renewing Your Mind with Dr. R.C. Sproul. I'm Lee Webb. Father's Day, of course, is coming up Sunday, and we thought it would be helpful to focus our attention on what it means to be a father, one who is committed to raising his children in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. You just heard Dr. Sinclair Ferguson provide sage advice. We'll hear more from him and all of our teaching fellows later, but I wanted to begin with Dr. Sproul. R.C., you're not just a father, your grandfather and great-grandfather, I find it striking that there are very few verses in the Bible that are directed to us as fathers. Now, yesterday in your lesson on the Christian man in the home, you referenced one of those in Ephesians 6, where the Apostle Paul tells us not to provoke our children, but to raise them up in the fear and instruction of the Lord. But other than that, really not too many verses directed to us as fathers. Does that mean that the Bible is devoid of instruction for us in our roles as dads?
I don't think so at all. There are all kinds of principles that are revealed without specifically referring them to fathers. Nevertheless, they apply to men. They apply to all of us in different respects. You know, one of the things that deeply concerns me, Lee, is that in my own family history, I'm sure that the psychiatrist would have a field day with this, but I think that my father was the greatest man that ever lived. I almost have a hero worship about my father, because my father was a model of integrity, of patience, of kindness, of wisdom. He had a real desire to gain wisdom. And so for me, I have an extremely positive view to the whole concept of father. And yet there are millions of people out there who find it even difficult to think about God as a father because their earthly experience has been brutal, where they have been mistreated and exploited and abused in so many ways. I've run into so many people like that who had that negative experience that find it difficult to make the transition to think of our Heavenly Father in any positive way.
R.C., looking back on your many years as a father, what do you think is key to raising children?
You have to know your children and know what they need, and to be sensitive to what they need, and not just what they want, but what they need. And I think that's one of the important keys for parenthood.
Well, we appreciate Dr. Sproul's advice there. I also had the opportunity at our most recent national conference to sit down with our Ligonier teaching fellows, all of whom are fathers, some of them grandfathers, to glean from them biblical wisdom on raising children. And we begin with Dr. Burke Parsons, who is the father of three young children, ages 13 to 3.
I love being a father. I love every minute with my children. Every minute is a joy. Of course, I wouldn't be a good father if I didn't have such a good wife, who's such a good mother to our children. And I often remind younger men who are new fathers who realize their sin, they realize their failings, they realize that they're not perfect fathers. And I say, if you were a perfect father, your children wouldn't need a savior. And it's a helpful reminder, because I think as fathers, we so often feel like failures. We don't feel as mature as we'd like to be, or as patient as we'd like to be, or as loving as we'd like to be. We worry and we pray and we ask the Lord to help us to discipline our children with love and grace, and to discipline them consistently and even uniquely with each child, as you know well, Lee. And so fatherhood is about depending on the Lord and truly resting in Him and trusting Him and looking to His Word and the guidance of His Word and the wisdom of His Word for that daily need. And so I think fatherhood is fundamentally about simply following Christ and getting your kids to look not fundamentally to you as a father or even to their mother fundamentally, but to look to Christ. And so that as they see you following Christ, they're following Christ, and as they look at you, you're pointing to Christ, not to yourself. Because ultimately, I want them to become like me and follow me as I follow Christ, but ultimately, I want them to follow Christ. I think we lead as fathers, both in following Christ, and when we're not following him obediently, when we sin, that we're repentant. And so, really, fathers, we're likely the chief of sinners in our homes, and so we should also be the chief of repenters in our homes. We should lead by repentance, and I think it's been said many, many times over the years, but I think it's true that one of the best things you can do for your children is to love their mothers, to adore them, not in a superficial way, not in a showy way, but in a real, authentic, deep appreciation and respect. And so when you argue in front of your children, you also need to ask for forgiveness in front of your children. And when you've hurt your bride, we need to apologize to our bride. And I think that mode of living, letting your children not only see your obedience to Christ, but when we're not completely obedient, that they would also see our repentance and forgiveness and grace. Similarly, when they receive discipline, that it would start with love and that it would end with love and point them to Christ and the gospel. One of the things I say to my children when they need to be disciplined, I'll say, you're not perfect, you're a sinner, and so am I. I'm a sinner too, and we both need Jesus. And right now, you need to trust him, because he's perfect, and he's taking your sin if you trust him.
Well, unlike Dr. Parsons, all of Dr. Stephen Lawson's children are grown. He has 3 sons and 1 daughter, but all of them live within a mile and a half of Steve and his wife, Ann. As the father of adult children myself, I have to admit that my wife and I are envious of them. But he told me a very simple strategy he employed early on with his children. And again, we recorded this at our national conference, so you may hear some of the attendees in the background.
And I guess my advice would be, I know how serious I am about the Lord, and I know how serious my wife is about the Lord, and you're living with the preacher, and I'm a strong Bible preacher, and I did everything that I could to try to balance that with making our home be as fun as it could possibly be. So, vacations, trips, sports, athletics. I coached their basketball teams. I coached their baseball teams. I took them to the golf course with me. I drove them to tournaments, went to their ballet recitals, my daughter, and just tried to play with them as much as I can, because I know they're sitting there on the front row listening to me preach 2 and 3 times a week. And it's a pretty heavy dose of no-nonsense Christianity. To balance that and to help get the medicine down, I needed to try to be as fun with them during the week as I could possibly be. And I would take them when, you know, we started with twin boys. So that's a huge experience. And I married late in life. My wife married late in life. And so I was 30 and she was 28, and we began with twin boys. And I took them everywhere I went, and they were just always at my side. And even when I would go into on Sunday morning to preach, they're in my little Volkswagen Bug with me. I take them to a restaurant, let them order whatever they want, and while I'm poring over my notes, and they're back in my office with me. And I've got, you know, a putter and some golf balls, and just making it as enjoyable for them as I possibly can. I'm a little bit of an echo chamber from what my father spoke into my life. He led me to Christ. He was a highly, highly principled man, the most honest man I've ever known in my life, and the most fair man, and the hardest working man. And all of that is an influence into me. I'm just like a pipe. He poured it into me, and as a father, it came back out of me into my children. So I didn't have to go in a different direction. There was simply an emulation of an influence that had been built into me.
What a great tribute to his own father. That's Dr. Stephen Lawson. Dr. Albert Moeller is also the father of grown children, a son and a daughter. He's also a grandfather, and he has this piece of advice on fatherhood.
Yeah, you know, I will simply say what we know is true, but I feel it every single day, and that is that the time goes by so fast. And so you're holding this little baby, and you think, I will have this child for a very, very long time. And then in a blink of an eye, you're sending him to school. And then in a second blink of an eye, you're walking her down the aisle. And the time just goes so fast. So live in every moment and don't waste a moment. So that would be my advice as one Christian father to another. The time passes more quickly than you can imagine. So hug your child, teach your child, play with your child. Pour into experiences. Don't buy your child stuff. Don't give your children stuff so much as give them experiences, and those experiences with you.
Someone said to me once that the best advice they could give is lead as one who's being led.
Yeah.
And I thought that does away with technique and strategies, doesn't it, to be a dad?
Yeah, you know, dads need to be seen not only as teachers but as learners, and dads need to be seen as you're saying, not only as those who lead, but as those who demonstrate what it means to follow. And by the way, no one can be a good leader unless that person has first been a good follower. And no matter what our station in life, we will not always lead, but we should always honor leadership. And as a dad, you know, the fact is there's so many dads who don't lead. So a part of me wants to say, lead. You know, do what God's called you to do. You've got a job to do no one else can do. If you don't do it, failure will ensue. But I also want to say lead as you find the best examples of leadership in Scripture. That's a tender-hearted leader, not a domineering leader.
Who are those leaders?
Well, you think through the Old Testament and the New Testament. I mean, we start out with the examples of those. You know, I think of Moses and Joshua. And, yeah, I think of Moses in particular, because every imaginable leadership challenge he faced. You know, he comes down from being with God and finds that his brother and his sister have led Israel into idolatry. You know, he's a full man. And, you know, his leadership is marked by the glory of Moses and also, as the Bible's so honest about, the sin of Moses. And yet, Moses, by God's instruction, entrusted the next generation of leadership to Joshua. He knew it was Joshua who would take the children of Israel into the land of promise. And so you see that leadership succession. That's a big problem, even in many Christian ministries today. And one of the reasons I'm so thankful for Ligonier Ministries, and even this very moment, there's the understanding that this ministry must go on. And we're just so thankful for the leaders that God has given us.
I also had the opportunity to talk to two of our longest-serving teaching fellows, Dr. Sinclair Ferguson and Dr. Robert Godfrey, and they, too, are the fathers of adult children.
The simplest practical thing I think I would say is tie your children to yourself by as many pieces of string as you can. I say that because I've noticed, actually, in quite a lot of parents, that the only channel of connection they seem to have created to their children is spiritual. Teaching them the Bible, teaching them to pray, teaching them how to live the Christian life. And sometimes those parents produce children who see the Christian life simply in terms of the kind of behavior pattern that is expected of them. And there's relatively little emotional development in the children. So I think it's important for us not simply to take an interest in the, quote, spiritual growth of the children, but to take an interest in the children because they're our children, and to appreciate their individuality. And also I think I would say I've seen quite a lot of parents expect a higher level of sanctification in their children than they seem to expect in themselves. And I think it's important to remember they are but children and that they need to grow into holiness. And so I'm kind of rather concerned often about the programmatic way in which some Christian parents rear their children. To me, one of the biggest things is love the church and fold your children into the church. I've sometimes said that the only family that's going to last forever is God's family. And therefore, that family has to have a kind of priority. So I've also seen Christian parents who regard the church as a kind of additional extra. And to them, one must say, God never created two parents who are adequate in themselves to raise one child for Jesus Christ. You need the church to do that.
My children cannot remember a time when they didn't go to church. And I think that's important. I think it's important that connection with the church for children seem natural, expected. For my children, it was never a matter of choice. We go to church as a family. I suppose Joshua's great statement, you know, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And so we were in church Sunday morning and Sunday evening and involved in various study activities at the church. And I think that helping children sense and experience that we are part of another family, the family of God, as well as our own family, and that this isn't optional, this isn't something we debate about, this is just who we are.
Can I give you an illustration of that? I remember our second son is a pediatric surgeon, and there was a lady in our congregation in Glasgow, probably left school when she was 13, very modest means, quite an elderly lady. And one weekend, our son, who was in one of the big hospitals in London, was home for the weekend. The end of the evening service, I saw him sitting down beside this elderly lady, and they were just talking together. And the next Sunday night, I saw her again sitting in the back row after the service. And so I wandered up and I said, I saw you were chatting to Peter last Sunday. And this was a woman for whom a surgeon was like, you know, royalty. You know, she did not mix with people like that. And she said to me, it was so wonderful, so kind, so humble of you, Peter, to come and sit beside me. And so I sat down beside her. I said, my dear, I said, you need to know that he was just trying to repay a little of the debt he owes to you for the number of Sunday nights. You would have said to him, are you doing all right, Peter? How are you doing? That you know, a woman who thought she had no gifts, who had invested love and interest and attention. And just watching that, I think, you know, was a little insight into how much is contributed to the growth of our children if we ourselves love the fellowship in which God has placed us and enfold them into it.
Has there been one thing that they've shared with you, maybe just one of your sons or your daughter has said, Dad, I so appreciated this about you? Has there been one of those moments?
Yeah. Two of the children were easy to raise, and one was not so easy. And that child is so appreciative that we persevered, that we didn't give in, that we continue to hold up the standards of the Scripture, and made clear that we were always going to be loving parents, but we were not going to approve of behavior we didn't approve of. And that perseverance, that holding to a standard, I think, is really appreciated in the long run.
Along those lines, I asked another of our teaching fellows, Dr. Stephen Nichols, who is also the president of Reformation Bible College, to identify the biggest challenges he faces as the father of three young children.
You know, I think it's the consistency. I think it's recognizing that many dads are just busy, tired, working. And it's easy, you know, and that Monday through Friday pace to let those structures sort of slide. And it's very easy to get caught up in work and be tired and to sort of apply our best efforts to our work. And then the remains of the day, we are spent and we don't have it left in the tank to give to a family. And I think it's very... We need to be reminded that we need to keep a little bit of reserves there for those evening hours with the family, with the children. So that would be one piece of advice. The other piece of advice, and I wish I was far better at this than I am, is to just consistently be in God's Word with your family. You know, we think of what kind of a devotional we can use, or we look for, again, some sort of book that might help us and speak to a need. You know, the best thing you can do is just read Scripture together, and not even a lot of Scripture. You know, there's some that want to read the Bible through together in a year with a family. That doesn't work for all families. Maybe the attention span is just enough to capture a few verses after a long day. But just being consistently in God's Word, and we get this exhortation, don't we, in the epistles, the public reading of Scripture. Now, there was a reason for it, because they didn't have books, you know, and so there was the one letter that had to be publicly read. But there's something about just hearing God's Word read together, and to be consistent at that is probably the best thing you can do for your kids.
That's Dr. Stephen Nichols. And as we conclude our time together, Dr. Derek Thomas, who's the father of two adult children, provides us with sort of a 30,000-foot level of fatherhood. He puts it all in biblical perspective.
You know, at the heart of the gospel, if you were to ask me, what's at the heart of the New Testament? What's new about the New Covenant? And I think Jeremiah 31 says, it's about fatherhood. It's about being able to call God, Yahweh, the divine Lord, being able to call him Abba, Father. I was in Jerusalem one time, and I was walking towards the Wailing Wall, and it was the onset of Shabbat, and it was getting dark, and there was an Orthodox Jew, you know, with all the paraphernalia, dressed in black, and he was running, and he had black shoes on and steel tips, and it's paved all around, so I could hear him coming, clink 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 clink, and he had a little boy, just a young boy, he's probably two, and he's running, so the little boy wasn't able to run as fast, so he had him by the hand, and every sort of second step, the little boy was airborne. And all the time he's saying, Abba, 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 Abba. Now, I know what Abba means. I actually did a course in Aramaic at some point in the past. So I actually know what Abba means. But it was like a flash bulb going off. And I thought, well, that's what Abba means. It means this guy who's hauling him off the ground is his father and he wants his attention. And I thought, you know, that's the joy of what it means to be a Christian, to be able to call God Abba, Father. And we enter into some of the joy of that in our own parenting, that part of the image that we bear of God, part of the redemptive image that we bear, not everybody, but those who have the privilege of being parents have that tremendous joy of hearing another human being who is so closely related to you in so many ways, and to hear those words, Father, Dad.
Well, it was a great privilege to sit down with all of our teaching fellows and Dr. R.C. Sproul as they shared a very personal side of their lives. You know, typically we hear them in their teaching roles, but theology permeates every aspect of our lives and theirs, including the role that fathers play in reflecting the character of our Heavenly Father. Thanks for listening to Renewing Your Mind. And dads, I know that especially when you're in the thick of it, it can feel like an impossible task, and it can be easy to fear that we're failing in that role. Richard Phillips has written a book called The Masculine Mandate. Men, as you read it, you'll be led to examine your hearts and fully embrace your God-given mandate as fathers. When you contact us with your gift of any amount today, we will send you the Masculine Mandate. You can call us at 800-435-4343, or you can give your gift online at renewingyourmind.org. And let me just say how much we appreciate your generous financial support. The call to step up to manhood is challenging. I know if you're like me, it's easy to fall back into comfort, ease, and self-focus. Richard Phillips' book will give you a better understanding of your role as a Christian husband and father. Again, for your gift of Idiom Out, we will send you his book, The Masculine Mandate. Our number is 800-435-4343, or you can give your gift online at renewingyourmind.org. When you do request it, we'll immediately add the ebook to your learning library, and it will be accessible when you log in to your Ligonier.org account. If you have any questions, though, about that, just call one of my colleagues at 800-435-4343. They'll be glad to help. To all the dads listening today, we hope you have a wonderful Father's Day Sunday, and a reminder to join us Monday as we feature Dr. Sproul's series, Surprised by Suffering. Here's a preview.
When I'm afflicted, when you're afflicted, when pain intrudes into your life and the threat of death comes, the first thing that we ask is, why?
We hope to see you again next week here on Renewing Your Mind.